The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show, the weekend setup for Thursday, April the 5th. Coming up on today's broadcast, we'll talk with the defending USAC Silver Crown champion Cody Swanson as the Silver Crown division kicks off its season at Phoenix on Saturday, and we'll also stay out on the West Coast and catch up with longtime public relations director Jim Allen for the King of the West NARC Fujitsu 410 Sprint Car Series. He'll give us a preview for the upcoming 2018 season. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, the weekend setup brought to you by Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA, and by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and by Super Rooster, barbecue chicken excellence.
With more than 30 years' experience in the industry, Kinzer Air Filters have earned the trust of racers from local tracks to the national scene. Kinzer Air Filters offers a 360 dome positive charged air filter, the cleanest air filter on the market. Easy to use, can be cleaned with soap and water. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. Trust, support, and pride. Three words that will sum up your experience with Kinzer Air Filters. Roger Kinzer believes in his clients and thanks everyone for their continued support. To learn more, call Roger at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103. Keep watching for the newly redesigned Kinzer Air Filter website. Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA.
Hi, this is TJ Stutch. You are listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show, the weekend setup. Well, Mother Nature again just not having her way with allowing people to get races in the East Coast and Midwest. But one place that she's letting alone for now, we're thankful, is Phoenix, Arizona. And that's the site of the season lid lifter for the United States Auto Club Silver Crown Division, one of the neatest forms of open wheel racing that we do have. And joining us on the line right now from Kingsburg, California, but now residing in Indianapolis, the three-time, and he is the defending champion of the USAC Silver Crown Series, Cody Swanson. Cody, great to talk to you as always. Again, congratulations on last year's championship.
Yeah, hey, thank you. Appreciate that very much, and thanks for having me on the show.
88 points over Jerry Koons Jr. Jerry, a very talented driver in his own right. What was the key moment for you and the Bob Hampshire team last year in getting that third national championship?
Yeah, I don't know if I could boil it down to just one moment, but something that is tough in Silver Crown Series is it's a short schedule in terms of numbers of races. I think we had 11 official ones on the books last year, and so you can't. You can't have any miscues, and something that I'm really fortunate to be a part of this team. These guys do a great job preparing the car and the equipment, and fortunate to be in contention in so many of those races late in them, and just kind of season long thing. It we're able to pull away a little bit there and have it all sewn up at the end.
I think for fans who may not know about the Silver Crowns, it's not like your traditional Saturday night. Where you'd have the USAC midgets or USAC national sprint cars or the USAC CRA cars. You don't have you have time trials, but you don't have heat races. It's time trials and then a 100-mile feature. And so it's go time from the get-go. What's interesting, you mentioned last year 11 races. That's how many there are again this year. 6 on the pavement, 5 on the dirt. The only schedule change is Madison International in Wisconsin is on the schedule this year. It's an asphalt track, and off the schedule is Williams Grove. We hate to see that. It's the very historic sprint car track. As you have grown yourself as a driver over these years and in the championships, how much have you come to appreciate the balanced schedule that USAC comes out with, and where do you see the areas that you would still like to improve yourself on, both on the dirt and on the asphalt side of the Silver Crown division?
Yeah, I mean, I started in Silver Crown. I was I was definitely more of a pavement guy, and really struggled to get a grip on the dirt, and be good enough as a driver to contend for the title with that. You know, we would be strong a lot of the pavement races, and getting hooked up with this team. These guys have been around Silver Crown racing a long time, and able to get some sprint car races under my belt to help me with the short track dirt stuff. You know, that was where I struggled the most, and for our series, short track dirt are still not small tracks. I mean, I'm talking about Williams Grove and Terre Haute and Eldora, and we've come a long way, I think. And last year, we were able to win there at Williams Grove, which was really something special. And for me, half of the intrigue and the interest, enjoyment in the Silver Crown Series is that we get to go to such unique places and kind of historic venues with the series, and it's neat to be able to do that on both both the asphalt and dirt, and be one of the few series left, if not the only, that really runs on both. I think the ARCA Stock Car Series has a couple, but for us to be mostly balanced is still really cool. And so in those earlier years in my career in Silver Crown, it seemed like there were way more dirt races than pavement, and really made everything an uphill climb for me. And but been fortunate to be able to extend that to a point where I could start to get better on the dirt and really start to turn the corner. And we've had a lot of good runs on the miles and started to get better at the short track stuff and be in contention there. So I really, really like them all, and there's always something to improve at, whatever type of track you're going to. And try to put my best foot forward to identify those things and be better before we come back.
Of course, as we mentioned in the opening of the segment here, you guys are out there at Phoenix IMS Raceway. It's the opener for this season. 18 cars are signed in for the weekend's action, which gets underway Saturday, Friday with the time trials, and Saturday is the 100-mile race. 9 cars of those 18 are cars that were around for last year's event, which was the first time in a long time that the Silver Crown Series was back at Phoenix. What does that say about what direction this great portion of USAC racing is going in at this particular time?
Yeah, I mean, the Silver Crown Series had really started to, I'm going to say, turn the corner in 2014. At the time, Andy Hillenberg kind of took over the series and really helped get the ball rolling on a strong resurgence. And in the time since, he's moved on to other opportunities, and Levi Jones and Kirk Spridgen have been a big part of keeping that movement going, along with A.J. Bolin was a big part of it even throughout Andy's tenure and continuing, and along with all the other USAC officials. And I think they've been able to really continue that. And it's been neat, to have places like Phoenix, venues that were the site of the Copper World Classic for so many years, be willing to have us back, have us part of the IndyCar weekend with their Grand Prix. It is neat to be included, and I think we've had a lot of new pavement cars kind of join the series in the last couple of years, and they're hoping for more, and have a few guys that weren't able to get all the way ready for Phoenix. It's a pretty daunting venue for our series, just as high as the speeds are. And so looking forward to, continuing to grow the pavement side, as the year goes on, like we talked about with races there at Lucasoil Raceway and, the rest of the tracks, it should be a good year.
When you look at this series, Cody, it began in 1971, and you are going into the 2018 season with 15 career wins. That has you tied for fourth on the all-time list with J.J. Yaley. You're two behind Brian Tyler, one behind the late Dave Steele, and 4 wins away from tying the legend Jack Hewitt with 23 career Silver Crown wins. You mentioned about the struggles you had on the dirt, and you're starting to get a little more accustomed to that now. As you look at that, are those numbers starting to sink in as to where you are at in the overall history of this series?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think I started with 15, and over last season we were able to actually you know, past the guys, J.J. Yaley and Dave Steele and Brian Tyler. So I think I'm at 19 now, and Jack's got 23, which was, you know, numbers that, you know, I never really fathomed that that I'd be able to make it to past those guys in the list, you know. On one hand, it's neat to stop and think about. On the other, it hasn't really been something I've tried to focus on. It's just been kind of neat as it's been happening. You know, I mentioned this race team is really something special to be a part of, and everybody that's involved puts the effort in to deserve to win races. And so I just try to do the best I can each time we go to see if we can't win one for them. And we've had really a couple of really special years that have kind of pushed us up that list. Higher than I definitely feel like I deserve. And it's been a fun ride, that's for sure.
Well, my apologies. A part of that's my fault for not doing my homework as I should have done, which I did. But the latest numbers on the USAC website still have you at 15.
When I
downloaded it and looked at the history, that's where it was at, not knowing it was not updated. So we apologize for that. So just a few behind Jack. And then still, you're talking one of the legendary drivers of all time.
Yeah, for sure. No problem at all. So the Silver Crown series, like we said, has been around since 71. So, you know, all the names on it have been pretty huge in motorsports history. So it's been neat just to be on the list at all. And been a fun try to climb.
And last year, you finished runner-up in this race, and your thoughts on getting that one position higher this year around and finally breaking into the win column there at Phoenix?
Yeah, Phoenix is a special place for me. Actually got to come here as a kid. My dad, Mike Swanson, raced in the Super Modified division of Coppola Classic in the early 90s. So it's special for me to be able to kind of connect with that history at the same racetrack. And we ran second last year, and I think it was 2009 was the last time Silver Crown had been here before that, and ran second in that one too. So it's been close and just not quite able to put it all the way together. But, Bobby Santos won last year. He's exceptional on the pavement, and his team does a great job too. So been trying to do my homework as best I can and hopefully learn some things from last year and experience and trying to just get a little better at every element of that race. And like I said, hopefully we can be one spot better this time.
Anything new for you guys in the team this year, chassis engine combination, or is it the same as last year?
Most of it's all the same. In our dirt Silver Crown car, I crashed pretty good there at Eldora last year, and we had been on the same exact chassis for 4 years that I've been here, and it was around with the team before that, but it was kind of beyond repair. So we're still got another Maxim chassis, but got a fresh set of bars on it, and looking forward to that with the dirt car. You know, the pavement car is the same one we've been running, and Bob Hampshire, he's a huge part leader of this team, and not only is crew chief on the dirt, but he builds the engines too, and him and Jesse Hines work really hard to give us good horsepower, and looking forward to that. Clark Lamb does a great job working on the cars and all the maintenance, and they're always ready to go 100 miles, and my buddy Ryan Roberts just have at the racetrack and shop when he can too. So really, really working on it to race with, and great equipment too. The De Palma family does a great job for us as owners, giving us the tools that we think we need to go out and try to compete for it.
And what's on the docket for you outside of the Silver Crown racing this year?
I still try to stay fresh, and like we talked about, the schedule being short, try to fill in with some off weekends. Running sprint cars whenever I can, whether it's dirt non-wing or some of the 360 stuff in Ohio with the wing on. Still run some pavement sprint car stuff. Schedules are a little thinner for those, but just try to stay active in racing wherever I can, keep sharp, and try to make sure I'm at my best when it's time to come to these Silver Crown races.
Well, Cody, we want to thank you for taking time out of your day to join us here on the Sprint Car Show the weekend set up. All the best of luck to you and the team for a safe and successful 2018 Silver Crown season.
Yeah, thank you much. Sure appreciate you having me on the show. It was great to visit, and hopefully we get to do it again sometime.
That sounds great. Cody Swanson, the defending and now three-time USAC Silver Crown National Champion, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show the weekend set up. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Dave Darlin, and you're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show. The weekend set up, we're going to head out to Northern California right now. And on the line with us is longtime public relations guru out on the West Coast. Back in his early days of NARC, now it's the King of the West NARC Fujitsu 410 Sprint Car Series. Jim Allen joins us. Jim, great pleasure to talk with you. Welcome to the Sprint Car Show.
Hey, thanks for having me today. Looking forward to talking to some of the people on the East Coast who are getting snowed in and watching racing season slip back another week or two.
Yeah, it's been one of those years where Mother Nature did not cooperate much with us last year, and now she's not doing it much this year. But I understand that your guys' season opener was postponed by a day because of Mother Nature. When are we going to get a break across this country?
I don't know. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, compared to the rest of the country, you know, we don't have anywhere near the weather situations you guys have. But yeah, our season opener at Kern County Raceway Park was scheduled for Saturday. Of course, rainstorms are blowing through northern and central California. The good news for race fans out here is that the people at Kern County decided that we're not throwing in the towel. They got on and checked the weather, and we are racing Sunday. So we are bumping up our show a couple hours, and I don't know, go back to some of the old classic Sunday afternoon shows. So, hey, we're going to have a season opener this weekend, so we're pretty excited.
Well, at least you're getting the season opener in. Great to hear that people are willing to work around things, work around Mother Nature. I know we have some great tracks here in Central Pennsylvania that do everything they can do to get the races in. But you've been around for quite some time, all the way back to, as we said, mid-80s with NARC. And have things changed a lot in terms of the way track motors have been dealing with Mother Nature in getting these dates to try to accommodate, at least get a race in, whether it would be a tour race or a race in general out there on the West Coast?
Yeah, things have got a lot better. I mean, I'm not a chest thumper, and I don't want to take credit for anything. But you know, I mean, my goal is, you know, I'm a no drama guy, a no controversy guy, and we try to, you know, so you know, we've got all the promoters to, you know, sit at the same table and negotiate a schedule, so we don't really have any overlaps. And you know, that was sort of what happened in the you know, the NARC days. You know, it's like everybody talked, and you know, and not everything was good. You know, if we somebody messed up, you know, somebody would tell you, but there was always nice open lines of communications. And you know, that is one of the things on my personal hit list for this year, is to, you know, eliminate all that and you know, make it more about you know, the racers and putting on a good show for the fans than politics. And you know, in today's world, politics is a horrific word, because everybody's got an opinion and nobody agrees. So whatever, like I said, let's put on a racing show and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I can't begin to imagine where our sport might be when I started back in the mid-80s covering as a reporter. Where would we be today with social media had it been started back then? It's crazy as it is now. And, of course, I saw your tweet out, and you're saying people were calling and wanting to know what was going on, even the smoke signals. I didn't know the Cowie tribe was still around, and Sergeant O'Rourke and Corporal Agarn were going to be needed to call in to interpret those smoke signals. But obviously it is part and parcel for the day. But, you know, the history of NARC, it's such a long history. I mean, we could spend hours talking about it, but was there one thing besides the racers themselves? I mean, we're talking some of the great names out there in the West Coast. What was the thing that made that name so relevant that all the way across the country people knew about it, and it was a very well-respected series from day one?
All right, so a little bit of history lesson. So, yeah, Louis Vermeil, you know, and a bunch of these guys in the old Owl Garage in Calistoga, you know, started the Northern Otter Racing Club in 1960 in, you know, beautiful Calistoga. And, oh, my gosh, some of the driving stars of the day. And, you know, we keep looking through old pictures, and we just go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they raced those things. And, you know, they were just steady, and they were consistent. And, you know, names like, you know, Leroy Van Conen and Johnny and Billy Anderson and the Horton brothers. And, I mean, it goes, you know, way back with all these superstars. And, I don't know. It was, I don't know if maybe it started out with a name, but it was truly a club. You know, there was a board of directors, and, you know, everybody had a voice, and it was a pretty good arrangement. When I got involved in 1985, I'm showing my age, you know, all those heroes of, you know, that we watched as a kid, they were all starting to retire, and we were having, you know, we had a full generational driver change. And, you know, the Leroys and the people I just mentioned turned into, you know, were evolving into the Brent Katings and the Jason McMillans and the Rick Hurst of the world. And, you know, we had a hard battle there for a couple of years because, I don't know, maybe those guys weren't quite as respected as some of the older guys, but you know what, we kept the PR machine going, and I ran that thing till 99, and you know, it was a club. We had baseball games, and we raised money for the NART Benevolent Fund, you know, had a board, and you know, it was open opinion, and everybody knew what was going on, and you know, obviously that was a good thing, and you know, that name, I think, kind of worked its way around the country as far as, you know, everybody knew who we were, you know, just like everybody knows who the All-Stars and Outlaws are and all that. And then right about the time that I left for a career opportunity, I don't know, there was a lot of political infighting in California amongst promoters. And, you know, I mean, you know, sprint car racing still survived, but I think a few people got, I don't know, maybe somewhat bitter in the process. And so when I came back last year, I was like, you know what, let's go back to what works. You know, we don't need a new flash in the pan idea. What we need is let's get back to the club environment. And, you know, we're not there yet, but we're getting back there quickly. So pretty exciting to be part of. I have a bounce in my step, which I didn't think I was, you know, I kind of thought after I left the first time I wouldn't get back. So it's a lot of fun.
And, of course, Louis Vermeil, the father of NFL legendary head coach Dick Vermeil, didn't bring our Eagles a championship in 1980, but we won the Super Bowl this year. So coach is still our coach, even though we have a good one in Doug Peterson, and had a chance to do a story on Dick Vermeil for the local newspaper I used to write for, and just a super great guy. But, yes, the name Vermeil, very well known here. Throughout the East Coast of the U.S. And, of course, you mentioned some great names, and, of course, the Katings. But last year, picking up your championship by just a single point. Tell us a little bit about the 2017 championship run and what's on tap for 2018.
Yeah. So, yeah, as you mentioned, man, it was a fun one last year. 16 races, 10 different winners. Nobody could dominate. We kind of changed our point system around a little bit, and it was a young 15-year-old Gio Selzy and I guess we can call him the old wily veteran, Bud Kading. They went head-to-head. They changed the point lead five times over the course of the season. Corey Eliason was in the middle of the hunt until two races remain in the year. And, I mean, that excitement was, that helped the cause of getting King of the West and NARC back on the right path. And, DJ Netto, I mean, there was several drivers who, I mean, this points chase just never, there was never a runaway. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was, for Bud Kading, who had been racing forever, you know, when he was the only Kading who didn't have the King of the West title yet. So he got that under his belt and a huge sigh of relief. And I just actually saw him yesterday, and he's anxiously awaiting to chase title number two. You know, for Gio, it's kind of a little bit of a heartbreak. But, man, that kid definitely put himself on the map. And, there's great things in his future. So as far as this year goes, now we are the only group running 410s in California. Chico used to run 410s last year in the Friday shows. They went to all 360s. And then with working with a couple of the 360 sanctioning bodies in town or in the state, we no longer have any conflicting events. And so we have a whole lot of teams that are made a commitment to run this series, and which means that car counts are picking up, which was another issue that we were actively working on. So, you know, we've got, you know, Shane Golubic, who is going to be chasing his first title this year. We got Clyde Lamar, who's got the famous Tri-C, 3C car. He's got Indiana driver Tanner Thorson. I think he's kind of a wild card for this year. I mean, could possibly win the thing, plus Bud and whatever. We're pumped up. I think it's going to be a great season.
So the change in Chico going to 360s then sounds like it's not going to have any adverse effect on the status of the 410 sprint car racing in Northern California at this point.
No, it's not. They've had their first couple shows. I can't remember exactly, but they had 21 or 22 cars, and there's a ton of 360 sprint cars in California these days. And the 410s, they're out there. We're trying to get some of these guys who got them in their garage to start getting them in the cars. And you see people out there spending, 55 and 60 grand for a 360 motor. And it's like, shoot, why don't you just go 410 racing and, So it, like I said, work in progress as far as building car counts. I mean, I'm going to be, we're going to average 28 cars per event this year. You can write that one down. And, that's a pretty good deal, because 2 years ago, I think we were in the 21 range. So that's improvement in my book.
So it sounds like the state of the 410s in Northern California is still at a healthy state, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it is. As long as we don't have conflicts, because, these guys, like you said, you get the Shane Golubics of the world, and, like Carson Macedos and guys, these guys all got, and Tanner Thorson. I mean, you look at their racing schedule, and, they race 100 times a year. They'll race in they'll race in a shopping cart, if there's purse money. it's all good stuff. Like I said, 410 sprint car racing, is evolving. The only way to keep interest in it is to keep interest in it. And that's what I'm trying to drive on a weekly basis.
And of course, back in the day, guys like AJ Foyt and Bobby Unser and Mario, they would race in a shopping cart for no money, just for the sheer thrill of being the first one across the line.
Times
have surely changed. We're talking with Jim Allen, a longtime public relations director with NARC, now the King of the West NARC Fujitsu 410 Sprint Car Series. Wanted to find out, what did it actually take, and how long of a process was it? You mentioned you wanted to get out of the drama and get everybody to work together. How long did that take to get everybody together to make sure that the 410s and 360s weren't having any conflicts, so that the fans could have the best of both worlds and go watch sprint car racing, regardless of what engine was under the hood?
You know, and like I said, when I came back, you know, like I said, strange thing is that, you know, I didn't no longer knew the promoters that had worked closely with, so it was kind of a starting, you know, had to start over in one regard, and, you know, kind of went out of my way to meet them all individually, and contrary to some of the opinions that people threw out there, you know, oh, he's a bad guy, and he's doing this, and, you know, this is, oh, watch this and watch that. It's like, you know what, you know, typically that was not the case, and, you know, once again, we got everybody to work together, and, you know, the 360 guys, they want the top 410 drivers, and vice versa. We would like the 360 guys to move up. And with the old, you know, I don't care what business you're in, man, it all comes down to communications. And, you know, the communication is wide open. And, you know, if any of us have a problem with each other, everybody's getting on the phone and calling, and there's not any of that nasty stuff on social media that tends to get a life form of its own and go horrifically bad that never gets erased from history. So, like I said, it's like I said, everybody working together. You know, I mean, you can look at two promoters and say they're competitors. No, not really. They're, you know, they're two different people trying to make a living. But you know, they would all prefer not to stomp all over each other.
Yeah, and unfortunately, as you mentioned, a lot of stuff stays on social media, and you have those keyboard cowboys that they know more about setting up a race car than A.J. Foyt does. It's
right.
It definitely is a different time. Well, Jim, greatly appreciate your time and learning a little bit more about the King of the West NARC 410 Sprint Car Series out there in Northern California, and looking forward to having you back on at some point. We'll have Bud and Gio and the rest of the gang on as well throughout the year, and wish you guys all the best of luck, not only with the weather, but a safe and successful 2018 season. And if it can top 2017, then fans out there are definitely in for a really great treat.
All right. Well, hey, we appreciate the opportunity to come on the show. Call me anytime. I'd be glad to come back. And yeah, and if anybody listening to this right now, if you've never been to Bakersfield, I'm giving you one of the only reasons why you should go there. So Sunday. So thanks a lot for the time.
Sure thing. Jim Allen, longtime public relations director for the King of the West NARC Fujitsu 410 Sprint Car Series, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. The weekend setup, we'll take a break and be back with more of our show right after this.
Long Hot Family Summer Days are easy when Super Rooster takes care of dinner. Barbecue chicken, famous chips and homemade salads. I'm dropping in on the way home.
Super Rooster, Toowoomba North, South and Wilsonton.
The best chicken around.
With the weather warming up, it's the perfect time of year to be out enjoying Toowoomba with friends and Super Rooster. Their unique rotisserie barbecue chicken, fresh salads and famous chips turn any picnic into a feast. Super Rooster, Toowoomba North, South and Wilsonton.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show, the weekend set up here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, the only cancellation we have so far, thanks to Mother Nature, is at Attica Raceway Park in Ohio. Friday night's season opener has been canceled due to cold weather and a chance of snow flurries. Saturday's All-Star Race has been moved to Friday, April the 20th, and now Attica will use next Friday, the 13th, as the opener for the 2018 season. Hopefully at some point Mother Nature will give us a break and we will stop being a broken record and keep giving all these cancellation notices out here on the Sprint Car Show. Lots happening this weekend. ASCS is back in action. Again, the NARC King of the West will kick off their season on Sunday. URC is in action and other tracks are opening up as well. We'll have all that information for you. Plus, more guests coming up next Tuesday right here on the Sprint Car Show. The Sprint Car Show, the weekend setup, has been brought to you by Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA, and by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and by Super Rooster Barbecue Chicken Excellence. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.